Hey, we're going to take a moment to go to the Lord in prayer this morning, because we can do that, right? We can pray. We can pray at church, right? Okay, just checking. Some of you guys didn't say anything, which is still concerning, but a couple things on my heart in worship this morning. Just kind of overwhelmed by the set of songs, and loved every part of praise and worship this morning. But just so much going on my heart this week as I read all the news, all the different news stations, and my heart just breaks for Israel. My heart breaks for the situation. And we can go to the Lord, not just one time to pray, to ask God to intervene. We can pray until there's a breakthrough. Amen. That's the point of prayer, is say, God, we need you. God, Israel and the Middle East needs you right now, Lord. To have humility, to cry out, to not just care, to not just post a picture or a flag. I support Israel. I support this country. But to cry out for the nations, church, because we can. We can ask God to work in powerful ways. And so we want to just respond to the call as well to the prayer need for our team here. And so we're going to pray for those two things, our youth ministry, and we're going to pray for the Middle East right now. Would you pray with me, church, this morning? Lord, your word says in Genesis 18:14, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for Jehovah Jireh, the healer, the provider? Lord, your word says, nothing is too wonderful for me. The situation with man is impossible in the Middle East. In fact, it's because men are involved that there's violence. God, there's murdering, abducting, rape. There's so much darkness, God, in this region. Your word says, is anything too hard or too wonderful for me? And so, God, we just uphold the nation of Israel. We pray for those who are captives to be released and set free. We pray for wisdom. God, in this situation to navigate through, we ask for divine wisdom. We ask for a divine intervention. We pray your kingdom come. We pray lost souls to be saved. And Jesus, we ask. We trust you, Jesus, with this situation. Nothing is too hard for you, because you declare, God, that the heavens are yours and the earth is your footstool. Nothing is too hard for you, Lord. And so, as a church, we take a moment to intercede, to ask that you'd bend your ear, your heart, your strong right arm, God, to this place of brokenness and despair. As people are crying out, lamenting, we pray that you'd meet them with your comfort. God, we pray for the lost people in this situation. We pray for salvations. God, we pray that people would know Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. God, we pray healing amongst that land. Bless Israel. God, bless, God, that region, we ask in Jesus' name. We also pray, Lord, we just take a moment to just recognize the high calling of youth ministry here at this church. It's Pastor Appreciation Month, but I think that's also Pastor Praying Month, God, a time to just pray, God, your protection, your power, your anointing upon Pastor Kagan and Mackenzie, we ask. Lord, let them lead with confidence. Lord, I pray, God, that you would cause an entire sports team to trickle into the student ministry, to hear the gospel, to be discipled, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that they would impact, that they'd be transformed to transform their school. God, we pray for 100 students to fill up our student ministry, God, to be discipled and trained. And God, we pray that they would catch the heart to be discipled in the Word of God, in the truth, God, that they would understand how to follow you and that they would become transformed disciples for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yes and amen. Well, it's fun to pray in church. I'm going to do that more often. So you guys are like, what is this? He just keeps reminding us that we can pray in church. And so, well, my job's done this morning. Okay, let's pack it up. So, no, I want to continue to encourage you to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus. Transformation to become like Jesus is hard. It's so challenging. It can be overwhelming when you say, Jesus, it's hard to connect with you daily. It's hard to become like you with all these external situations going on around me. It's hard to be with you. It's hard to become like you, Jesus. Last week, we talked about the importance of the Holy Spirit. This week, we're going to talk about the importance of the Word of God, the Scriptures, the Bible. And I think it's so vital for us to be people of God's Word. In a world that just says, just do what you feel, do what feels good, do what culture tells you to do, or you're watching the TikTok video, this is where I'm learning about life and culture through TikTok and Instagram, etc. We need to be people, church. You need to become a body of believers in 2023 that simply say, it is written. It is written in God's Word. That's what gives you the authority to become like Jesus. When you're in a wilderness, when you're in a hard place, you can simply say, it is written. He's with me. He's for me. He's in me. He's given me his word to reveal himself to me. And so I just want to encourage you, church. I know transformation's tough. I know that we have a high aim to become inner, changed, transformed people for the benefit of our community. But we can do it. We can be with Jesus. We can set aside time to be with Jesus daily, and we can, by his Spirit and his Word, become more like Christ. Amen. But transformation's tough. You can fill in the blank. You can fill in the blank. What are you trying to change from? It can be hard to change before you have to. Think about if your doctor says you're unhealthy. You need to exercise. You need to cut out the donuts at Sunday church or something like that. It's the kids. It's the kids that are eating them all. And so, but if your doctor says you have to lose weight, you have to eat healthy, it can be so hard to change before you have to. Would you fill in the blank? What's hard for you to change? Is it your tone towards those in your inner house, your circle? Is it tough to change that tone? Is it tough to change out of fear? Fill in the blank. What is it for you? You know, I think about the hardest thing for me to change. It's like, God, your word, would you pierce? Would you hammer? Would you begin to do surgery on my heart? Once again, would you change me? Would you transform me? This inner man where nobody else sees except for the Lord himself with eyes of fire. Jesus, would you change this heart? The good news is he gives us this scripture, this word that carries authority. And I think, again, to go back to Matthew 4:4, when Jesus says it's written, here's what's going on. Is Jesus is essentially teaching you and I as followers and students of Jesus. He's saying your best efforts and your best feelings don't carry weight compared to the scriptures. So what I mean by that is when I'm in a wilderness spot or when I'm in a difficult situation facing external pressure, it's not my effort. I'm going to try harder, and it's not my feelings of what I feel. It's his word carries more weight in the situation. So when I'm facing a wilderness, when I'm in difficulty, I have to remind myself it's his word. It's the scripture that carries the weight, the glory of God. And that's what moves me. That's what I recognize gives me the authority to change and to transform, to be a person who understands God's plan and his heart and the tools, the commands that are available to become like him. And so, what gives the Bible weight? What gives the Bible weight over your feelings or the print or the YouTube video that you watch? What gives the scriptures the weight? What gives the scriptures the power to cause us to change and to transform? Scriptures are the inspired word of God. Scriptures reveal the power of God. Scriptures reveal the narrative of God. Scriptures reveal the Lamb of God. Scriptures reveal Jesus. John 1:1, Jesus is the Word of God. The Scriptures carry weight because God breathed upon them. The Scriptures are a library of genres. You have history, you have wisdom, you have Psalms, you have the Gospels, but they're inspired by the glory of God. God breathed upon the Scriptures. And as we open the Scriptures, it begins to be this thing that is powerful. It carries weight more than my effort, more than my feelings. It carries weight to transform me, to trust in God, to do interchange in my life. And so that's what the scriptures carry weight, because it reveals God's plan for humanity. The Scriptures carry weight because he breathed upon them himself. The Old Testament is a story where we see the fall of man. We see God's rescue plan. We see that Christ is predicted in the Old Testament. We see that the Old Testament reveals the need for Jesus. The Gospels, this is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see Jesus is revealed. Who Jesus is in the book of John, we see the kingdom of God revealed. We see Acts, Christ is preached. So let's go back. Again, Old Testament, the need for Jesus. Then we come into the Gospels, Jesus revealed. Then we see Acts, Christ is preached. The epistles, the letters to the church, Jesus explained. And then we read at the end of the book, Revelation. You should never add on to this book. We see that Revelation shows the victory of Jesus and the promises of Jesus' return. This is the library and the genres of the Word of God. This is what gives us the weight and the authority and the power when we understand who God is through his written word. When we understand the Scriptures, the weight and the glory, the power that's packed in these Scriptures, this library and genre of books gives us the power to change. I want to share what the Scriptures are all about. The Bible it's interesting because it describes the power and authority within the text. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. I love that. I love that as we read and gather, and we're called to share the Scriptures and read the Scriptures to one another. Why? Because the Scriptures carry weight. Why? Because God himself, the Creator and the Savior, breathed upon the text. And so it's useful for correcting, encouraging, so that the servant of God, so that you and I, each and every one of us, can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible is a tool. It says in Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is alive and active. It's sharp. Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even dividing the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Church, that's what, like, as a pastor, that's what I so absolutely desire, is for our church to know how to dive into the Word, to dive into reading the Scriptures each and every day. Being a self-feeder, being a person that understands with confidence how to come in to approach the text. Because my prayer, my heart, is not to just preach fluffy, easy, you know, this whole thing's supposed to be, you're going to have your best day yet. Like, I'm not promising that. I'm promising that when you read the scriptures. It's alive and it's active. It's so sharp to penetrate the hardest heart, to go into the soul, into the spirit, joints and marrow, that it does this deep work inside of you. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart so that they can be revealed, so that we can begin to say, God, it's working. Oh, no, it's working. I need to change. I need to transform. I need to allow the Holy Spirit to continue to cut, to continue to pierce, to go so, oh, so deep within my heart that I would change. But you say, oh, but it's so hard to change. Like, I can't change. I've tried to change. And again, I mean, I asked you at the beginning, you fill in the blank. What is hard for you to change? Fill in the blank this morning. Maybe you say, well, I'm super individualistic. I just do things on my own. I don't like to pray with anybody. I don't like to pray with the church. I don't like to pray with my wife. I don't like to pray. Maybe you would have this moment where you read the text and you just would recognize this as all together. It says the Lord's Prayer, that it says, Our Father who art in heaven, praise be to your name. And that word would pierce to your heart and you say, I just do this thing on my own. And that the scriptures would begin to cut so deep and to see inside of us, whether it's something that you've repeated over and over and over. Maybe you're just, I'm going to do this on my own. But the scriptures would reveal and pierce and cut. You say, but now I have this revelation that you've revealed something and I need to respond to this word. I don't have the power to change. I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you have that awareness. And Jeremiah 23:29, it just describes the power of the word of God. The word of God is described here with this picture by the prophet Jeremiah, the one who was trying to change the hearts of Israel who were hardened in idolatry. And Jeremiah says this, Isn't my word like fire and like a hammer that shatters the rock, declares Yahweh, the Lord. So when you recognize that this tool is, it's encouraging, it's correcting, it's useful for teaching, but then it's also piercing so deep into the bone marrow, cutting into the spirit, working, all of a sudden you say, God, it's something powerful is happening in the scriptures, in your word, with your authority, and it's beginning to break with a hammer. The word of God is like a hammer. Why? Because we don't change super easy. But the scriptures, the Lord's word, it's so powerful that it can begin to break the hardness off of our thick hearts, our hard hearts. You know, we know mining. You know, we recognize mining. We're a territory around a bunch of red rock. And think of this illustration of the hammer drilling and breaking and crushing and driving and moving and shifting. That's the word of God. More powerful than an explosive, more powerful than a massive drill, and more powerful to move rock from here to there. Church, that's the word of God. And so it's sharp. So you recognize, man, I'm in this season where I just don't have a lot of trust. I don't have the trust to take the next step, and I don't have this faith to make this sacrifice. And all of a sudden, you begin to say, God, would you break this fear, this poverty heart that I have carried for so long? Your word is sharp. It's piercing the conviction. And then guess what? It begins to break that fear and that passed down generational anxiety and fear and poverty mindset that kind of comes into our heart and into our mind. And so the word of God is absolutely powerful enough to break your heart, the hardness, but it's also powerful to break the hardness from generation to generation. The things you walked in the room with today, I'm not good enough. I don't have enough. I didn't do enough. Let the word of God pierce, correct, teach, encourage, and then begin to break off the hardness in your mind, the hardness around your heart, the hardness that has just been challenging to your family. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Man, that is a challenge. Have you ever had someone where you're like, I spiritually like forgive them, but emotionally, I have not got yet to that point. Spiritually, I've said the prayer, but emotionally, I'm still feeling a bunch of anger and bitterness towards this person. Well, I would just encourage you to go to the scriptures that are useful in that moment when you're just challenged to let go. You're challenged to forgive. You're even struggling to say the words out loud like, I let you go. I forgive you. Lord, bless you. I let go of this unforgiveness. Let the word of God be so sharp to judge your attitude, to bring correcting in your heart. And let the word of God hammer and break through that unforgiveness. And so Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14 through 17, powerful description of the word of God. Paul says, we're not in a battle against flesh and blood. We're in a battle against darkness and rulers and authorities. When you put on the scripture, when you read the scripture, you get into the text. You say, God, today's the day I'm going to put the belt of truth on. I'm going to wear the belt of truth, which kind of keeps everything, all of the Lord's armor on you. Because you're reading this truth. You're putting on the truth. Ephesians 6, 14, 17. It says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all of the flaming arrows from the evil one. Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So 2023 it's complicated. We face all sorts of complicated things, ideas, ideologies, false teaching out there, half-truth, lying truth, YouTube theology, all sorts of lies that the adversary would love to overwhelm you and I with. So we have to stand firm with the belt of truth on us. We have to put the belt of truth on each and every morning, buckled around our waist, holding everything together. But what I love in verse 17 is this description of the sword of the Spirit. And Sunday school, kids ministry, it's like this big sword where you're like, I'm going to attack. But really, Paul would have been addressing more of like this little dagger that you could, if someone was coming at you, kind of like, you know, put the dagger out and stab them. So he was describing this small dagger-like sword. And what's interesting about that is it says, then you would have the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, meaning that if the enemy shot an arrow into your arm, if he shot you with a lie, which he comes to do that all the time, to lie about this, that, you know, you didn't do enough works and you should question. It comes to say, you know, is this the plan of God? Or to rush a promise that God's saying, no, you need to hold on to the promise. And then the enemy comes to rush and lie and get you to rush, to push past, to cheat, if you will, to take the shortcut. That is often how the enemy wants to get you to slip up, is to get you to take the shortcut. He lies to you and he says, is it really what God said? Is it really the way? Look at Jesus in the wilderness when he was being tempted. He's fasting 40 days. What the enemy was trying to do was to throw a dart of rushing, to throw a dart of a shortcut, to take power, to claim the kingdom too early, to make the rock into a piece of bread too fast. And these are all lies. These are all lies that we want to believe these lies. We want to say, yeah, okay, I deserve this. I can say this, I can do this. And we begin to believe the lie rather than taking the word of God and saying, the enemy has just shot this lie at me. It hit me. I got hit with an arrow. And instead of letting it take you out, you are given this dagger, the sword of spirit, the spirit to to take and begin to say, this is a lie. And you begin to surgically remove with the word of God, with the truth of God, so that you can stand on the word of God instead of believing the lies of the adversary. And so I just encourage you, to be a person who understands this deep inner work of the scriptures, to commit to the scriptures each and every day. How do we read the Bible? We're doing a class on how to read the Bible, and it really is talking about these approaches to the text. And, you know, for example, when we come back to class, it's going to be approach the text through community. Approach the Bible in community. And there's these great approaches to know the Word of God, to understand what is the Bible, which we have been diving into. It's a genre of books written by man, empowered by the Holy Spirit, inspired by the Holy Spirit. They're perfectly finished, perfectly capable of doing all of these things to correct, to challenge, to encourage, to build faith, to cut out the lies of the adversary, to break the hardness off my mind and in my heart, or generational. So we look at this and we say, well, this is an amazing reality, but still giving you the confidence to approach the text this week. How do we read the Bible well? How do we read the scripture of God, the narrative of God, the story of God? I would encourage you to begin with that. That one, you would know the overall story of God. To know Genesis to Revelation, what in the world is this thing about? Because I think too often we approach the text in these short little snippets that really aren't going to give us this confidence and this understanding of what God's plan is. So Genesis to Revelation, the plan of God is simply that there would be this knowing who God is, knowing him through prayer, knowing him through worship, knowing him through understanding the law, knowing God. That is the storyline from Genesis to Revelation, is knowing who he is. And then we have the second, making him known. That's the story of Adam, and that's the story of Abraham. That's the story of all of the you know, the people that would have this, they'd be the heroes of the Bible, is simply that God would say, I want to reveal how to know God, what it looks like to have these moments of prayer and connection with the living God. Why? So that all nations, every person, every nation and tribe would know who God is. That's the point of the Bible. God revealing himself to humanity, through humanity. The Bible is written so that we would understand the storyline of God. And I think that's what gives us confidence to approach the text, when you're like, what is this old psalm about? It's about knowing God, and it's about making him known amongst the nations. So the second thing, when you read the Bible, so first thing is know the whole story of God. Know the whole story. Second thing is, when you read the Bible, read it in length and in depth. So don't take a scripture and just say, okay, I'm going to read this scripture and I'm going to just stop there. That'd be like if my wife texted me, like, hey, make sure to take the dog out and make sure to feed the dog and make sure to, not let the dog run around the house because, you know, there might be an accident or something gets eaten or whatever. Dog eats a sock and then you get a $500 medical or vet bill. So it'd be like if she reads, you know, gives me this text, and, you know, sometimes text messages can get broken apart and it's hard to understand. The idea here is that we need to not just take one thing from the text and say, okay, she said, eat dinner. Like, eat the food that I put out, and then you miss the whole point, the whole premise of dog, important part of the whole text message. And so we need to read the scriptures in length and in depth. So when you read the story of Timothy, or when you read the letter to Timothy from Paul, you're saying, I gotta read this in the full letter form. Like, I gotta read 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and all the parts. I gotta read it in full length to understand the power of the text, to understand the commands within the text, to understand the promises that are written in the text that were for Timothy or to Timothy before us. And so I encourage you to know the how to read the story in length and in depth. Read the passage before the passage of the day. Read what the text is saying around the scripture of the day. And number three, know what each book is about. Before you study the book of John, absolutely know that John, what John is about. Jesus revealing who he is, other gospels revealing what Jesus had done. There's John who's revealing who Jesus is. That's the whole book, whole point of John. And so when you understand the whole story, that's powerful. When you understand the scripture before the scripture of the day, that's powerful. And then knowing what the book, what the genre, what the book is about. So that is how you can approach the scriptures. We also use a tool here at the church called SOAP. SOAP is a powerful way to read the scripture, to observe what the scripture is saying, observing who wrote this, when it was written, why it was written, who is it for, and then you observe it, and then you apply it. We don't just do a Bible, study each and every morning. We're applying it to conversation and connection with the living God. And so you have application, and then you have prayer. And so we have SOAP online where you can follow the church-wide reading plan, and that is how we are just giving the goal that each and every person would be in the Word of God every day. And is that doable? Is that realistic? I mean, I hope that we see the power and the authority, the weight of God in 2023, that we would recognize that compared to my feelings and my effort, the Scriptures carry glory. They carry the weight of God. That we'd be people in the church that we would say, it is written. I can navigate through the confusing times because it's written. I can navigate through the external pressure, feeling like inflation, I don't have enough. But I can navigate through the difficult external pressure or the trial of inflation by saying, it is written. It is written that God will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. But not taking that out of context, to understand that this is so that we can be a blessed people, so that we can be a blessing to others. And so this is the word of God. This is powerful for our encouragement. It's powerful to build faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. By hearing the word of God, it builds our faith. It keeps our hope. It helps us navigate through the wilderness. It helps us stay humble on the mountain as we're having good times. We stay in the word of God and we say, it is written. Like, God, you oppose the proud, but you give grace to the humble. So when I'm on a mountaintop, God, I'm still in your word. Amen. Like, it's not just when I'm in the valley low, I'm going to look to the Psalms for encouragement. They will, but in the high, the good times of life, when you're saying, God, you've brought so many blessings. Man, can we just still be people, students of the Word of God? Can we bring that into our relationship with Jesus? And so you guys can stand this morning as we conclude. Your goal is to be with Jesus and to become like Jesus. It's so important that you recognize that Jesus is the Word of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So our goal is, does this really look like Jesus? Or does this attitude in me, is this just completely in my flesh? Or is it in the things of the world? Does your life look like Jesus? If not, the good news is that the Bible reveals the grace of God, the mercy of God, the story of God. And that's also key to remember, is that the Old Testament teaches the law of God. Jesus came, he lived the law perfectly with wisdom and love. He went to the cross, he became the perfect sacrifice on our behalf. Again, why did he do all this? Why do you have a scripture and a story, a love letter from God? Why? Because God wants relationship with me. God wants relationship with you. God wants relationship with every person in this community. God wants relationship with the entire nation. God wants relationship with this world. And so it's absolutely powerful that we look at the text and we recognize that Jesus, he knew the law, then he fulfilled the law, then he gave his life so that we who come short of the law would be forgiven, would be cleansed, would be free from all of our mistakes, all of our sin, all of our shame, so that we could experience his salvation, so that we could experience relationship with God the Father. And so if you're here today, that's the good news. That's the gospel. That's this huge part of the story that is absolutely powerful and beautiful for each and every one of us. That if you're here today and you say, man, like I'm learning a few things here today, it's the good news, it's the gospel, that when you came in as a sinner, as you came in feeling maybe distant from God the Father, Jesus came to reveal the love of God, the way of God, but also the salvation of God, so that you could say yes to Jesus, you could put your trust in Jesus, then lose the old life, to say that is a dead end, to lose this old way, disconnected from God, trying to do things on your own, trying to make up your own rules, trying to live your own way. We lose that. We say, God, I believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. God, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me, and I'm going to follow him, and I'm going to commit to him. I'm going to commit to his plan, the community, the church. I'm going to commit to reading his word. I'm going to commit to follow Jesus. And if you're here today and you say, I want to have a relationship with Jesus, with nobody looking around, eyes closed, quickly just, if that's you and you just say, I want to have a relationship with Jesus, you can raise your hand this morning and say, yeah, I understand his word is revealed. Awesome. His word is true. His word is life. And so you're here today. I just encourage you. Thank you so much. Anybody else just say, yeah, I want to have a relationship with Jesus. Awesome. And you can, because of the gospel, because of the good news of Jesus. So I pray for the people that raise their hand right now. It is an inner trust. It's an inner faith that is born and alive, that's saying yes to Jesus, saying yes to God's plan, saying yes to relationship with God right now by the finished work of Jesus, by the blood and the death of Jesus, that we can enter into a right relationship, righteousness with God the Father. And so I just pray for the people that slipped up their hand, God, that they would trust in the salvation of this book, the salvation of Jesus written in this story. So we trust in you, Jesus. We give our lives to you. We repent of our old self, and we come running into your plan, into your church, into your relationship with you. Most of all, we come running into relationship with you, God, because of Jesus. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the salvation that we experience because of Jesus. I pray for everybody else, God, that you would speak to us in the Word of God this week, cutting into the bone and the marrow, judging our inner thoughts and changing, God, by the Word of God, by your power that gives us weight and authority to become more like Jesus as we spend time with you, Lord. We just thank you for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you give it up for the two people that said yes to Jesus this morning? Amen. God bless each and every one of you. Walk with the scripture today. Be encouraged. And we love you guys. God bless you.